What's the matter, kid? You look beat.
No, Dad, I'm not. But I know someone who is.
Oh, Jesus!
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 5, Play It Again, David. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Are you ready? Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Let's just get to the A plot as quickly as possible because it's so insane.
That's what my question was going to be. Are you ready to beat this episode into submission? And it sounds like you are. So let's get to it.
Yeah, let's shake it up.
Yeah. All right. So let's start with the C story, which really is more like a G story this week. As we will recall from the last episode, Dylan has gone to Hawaii to live with his mother for this summer, what's left of it, which is causing Brenda to have fantasies of him being here and there, I guess, because they still had to pay Luke Perry. And so they figured this would be the way. I don't know. So at the beginning, Kelly and Brenda meet Jackie at the beach club for lunch, and they're looking at the menu. Kelly notices something, and let's just start it off. Clip number 2.
Brenda, they have a surf burger. I wonder who they named that after.
Mr. Surf. there's really no reason to clip this. Well, one thing to note is that this is before Jackie and Mel Silver have even met, mm-hmm. but she's like either sublimating all her sexual desires into all the different salads they have, or she's already pregnant. Like,
yeah,
they make a big point of her eating this whole episode. The other thing is, that's one of those 90210 jokes, the surf burger thing, that like, once you think about it for even 2 seconds, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I wonder who they named that after. Like, it's not called the Dylan McKay Burger.
Right.
There is no Mr. Surf.
Right. It's a beach club. Like, it's probably named after any of the surfers who surf there, or the actual surf itself as a noun.
Yeah. Or this is one of those things that, like, in whatever, the middle of the country in some landlocked state, they would put mayonnaise on the bun and call it a surf burger because
right.
of that. Anyway, it was annoying. We can move on.
Yeah, it sends Brenda into her first reverie of the episode, where she pictures the two of them having a from here to eternity moment on the beach, which seriously goes on for like 20 minutes. It's so
it really
unnecessarily long. For real. later, get another. Dylan pops in for just a second for really no good reason in clip number 3.
Kelly must be thrilled. Her mother's finally met somebody nice. Thrilled? She's completely freaking out.
Oh, well, she'll get over it.
Why do you say that?
Well, because when you meet somebody you care about, things just have a way of working themselves out.
Mom, you are such a romantic.
Be careful. Runs in the family.
So, Brenda, what do you think? Are things going to work out between us?
So dumb. There's really no reason to clip that either, except for how dumb it is. And then, like, Brenda pictures him standing there in the kitchen, and then he poofs away. Like, it really is clearly just a contractual obligation move, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. I also, like, you almost can't believe, even for this show, how bad the effects are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really looks like a series of frames that someone, like, put a color form on, or, like, when the head, that segment of New York Stories where Woody Allen's mom's head is, like, floating over him when he's walking through the city, and you're like, wow, that really looks fake, but that's the point. It's not really the point
either. Yeah.
There is no point.
So finally things get resolved, I guess, when Dylan finally phones, and we see a shot of him supposedly in Hawaii, like, in a very landscaped, you know, rock-surrounded pool on a cordless, waterproof phone. And considering, I mean, I put this in the visual aids because you're doing them this week. I marked this file name is called Iris's Hellhole, because it's like, okay, I know you don't get along with your mother, but this is what you were fighting against spending your summer doing? You're dumb, because it looks beautiful.
Yeah, you're also dumb because it's a thunderstorm and you're outside on a cordless phone. Like...
There's that too.
The weather could have done us all such a huge solid so much sooner, but anyway.
Yeah. So he calls Brenda, and this is how things end with them in this episode in clip number 4.
Brent, one more thing.
What?
I still...
Dylan? Hello? Dylan, you still what? Dylan!
What? What happened?
Who was that?
Dylan, we got divinely disconnected.
Thank God.
I can't really blame him, but yeah, that's the end of the storyline. Like, we never do find out what he's gonna say, and that's all we get of the two of them in this episode. So
that clip would also work in Fear of the Walking Dead.
True, it would.
What do we think he was gonna say, you guys?
He still loves her, I assume.
Well, yeah, except it's way more fun to think that he was about to say, "I still owe child support to that French girl." I still have gonorrhea
Remy.
Symptoms.
Zut alors. Yeah, baby. I still need you to rinse out that bandage I left in your bathroom. Anyway. Sorry. I don't know why I picked that. So disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, moving on to our B story. Jackie Taylor and Mel Silver sitting in a tree. As Sarah mentioned, at this lunch, Jackie is eating everything in sight for really no reason. And even though she's eating a salad with chicken in it, like, for some reason, somehow she breaks a tooth. Like, how hard are the croutons that this beach club is serving? But anyway, she breaks a tooth.
I know it's a sunflower seed. Like, I literally thought about, like, what is in that salad?
Yeah, Dave, you're a salad aficionado. What in a salad could break a tooth?
What's the hardest thing you can put in a salad? Yeah. Oh, boy.
Dylan.
Yeah, there's nothing that you put in a salad that would break a tooth, at least a normal tooth.
Maybe a jawbreaker. We don't know what they're doing at this club. So she's holding her jaw, and her broken jaw, and along comes Mel Silver to flirt with her and make jokes about how he's going to glue her face back together with crazy glue, and blah, blah, blah. Kelly is appalled at how bold he is. Jackie is charmed because she's hard up. Mel invites her out for dinner, and then... he mentions somehow he's heard about Kelly because I guess David never stops talking about her, and he asks her about David in clip number 5.
You know, I knew it. All the pretty girls know David. I wish I had his luck with women. Such a ladies' man. Ever since he was in the 6th grade when he started dating the 7th grade cheerleader.
Can you believe what happened at lunch yesterday? It's like straight out of a David Lynch movie or something.
Drink.
Wow.
At least now they know he makes movies, so that's, you know, mixing it up a little bit. It's not a Twin Peaks reference, but yeah, still.
I guess.
And what was happening in that silence, it is something you can see in the visual aids. It's Kelly having essentially a horror movie montage of all her worst moments with David Silver, ending with him winking at her, which is actually kind of clever because it is obnoxious. But she's distressed, and David is really milking it way too hard, as we hear in clip number 6.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
So, did you have a good day at the beach?
Groovy.
I hear you and David hang out together.
No. I mean, I know who he is, but I don't really know him.
Well, I've got to tell you, Kelly, got a real fan in my son. And when David likes somebody, I mean, really likes somebody, you could be sure of one thing.
What?
I've got a friend for life.
How lucky for me.
Sorry, that obviously wasn't David. That was Mel coming to pick up Jackie for their date. But still, you can hear that David, in what he says, David is already, it sounds like, slavering to be in Kelly's family in some way. And Jackie comes down in such a mumsy dress. I didn't put it in the visual aids, but maybe I should. It's like this weird bright blue taffeta. It looks like a junior bridesmaid dress. It's really strange and not sexy. But she's obviously got the hots for Mel. She's excited to go out. Kelly is continuing to be upset about this. And here is the clip that I was thinking of where David comes and makes overtures in clip number 7.
Hey, Kel.
Hi.
I heard your mom and my dad had a pretty swinging time last night.
That's not what I heard.
No, seriously. I think they already set up another date for this week.
Look, David, my mother's personal life is her own business. I don't pay much attention to it.
Wouldn't it be cool if we ended up stepbrother and stepsister?
Now it's Kelly's turn to fantasize.
Stepbrother and stepsister. Stepbrother and stepsister. Stepbrother and stepsister.
Whoa! Oh man, I wonder how much diesel bring in Canyon West Beverly auction.
Not as much as a picture of Kelly wearing it. She's even cuter, man.
I've got to do something.
I do like the staging of Kelly's room full of squeefs because they do look really upsetting.
Yeah.
And David as king of the squeefs is really no better despite how Donna is trying to talk him up. But anyway.
Don't be such a squeef.
Thank you. So Mel brings Jackie and her jeweled straps home after their second date. Jackie, very weirdly, this is in the visual aids, I made a gif of it, comes in like rubbing her nose so hard. Like, no, you're supposed to be sober now. What is with that? Was that the only take they could use? Because
That was weird.
It really looks like we're supposed to notice it. They kiss. She pulls away with, also in the visual aids, this gaping sex mouth of like, close it up. You're going to catch flies. Gross. And then Mel wants to make another date with her, but she says she can't because she has plans with Kelly already. So he suggests that they take both of the kids out together. Jackie is suspicious that there must be something weird about him because she's used to men with major liabilities. But she's clearly smitten with him. After he leaves, Kelly comes down and she's very sour about it, tries to put Jackie off Mel by talking about Jackie's ongoing addiction issues. But, you know, Jackie doesn't care. She thinks it's fine. And then Kelly finally seeks advice from one of the other divorced kids in her coterie, which is weird because I would think this would have come up again, but apparently not. Anyway, she talks to Steve about it, and this is what they say in clip number 8.
It's true about your mom and his dad, huh?
We're all going to dinner tonight, just the four of us. Won't that be cozy?
They want you to get along already. That's quick.
What do you mean?
Kelly, single parents never want the two sides to get together unless it's serious.
You really think so? I mean, they haven't slept together or anything.
Kelly, get with it. Sex is out of the loop these days. It all depends on how they get along personally and financially.
My mom was saying how much they had in common. And he is rich.
Well, then this dinner can only mean one thing. A romantic declaration of love in front of the kids.
I think I'm gonna be sick. See, what can I do to stop this thing?
Well, there is one thing that'll totally scare off a prospective stepparent. But it takes guts. No, I'm sure you've got that.
What is it?
You've got to let David Silver's father know right from the start that life with you won't be worth living. You've got to be the stepchild from hell.
Plink! So yeah, that's the plan. Obviously, we all know Kelly can pull it off, so when they go out for dinner, she is horrible in every possible way. It's almost like an improv challenge that no matter what anyone says, she can turn it around into something shitty.
Also, that music before the plink, was so like Rockford Files, you know, hitting the beat, getting the info montage music.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, that the scene in which she's being horrible, which we're about to hear in the next clips, is like, first of all, Jenny Garth is doing a really good job because this, like, storyline is sort of all over the place for her in terms of what she has to play emotionally, and she does a really good job with the like comedy bits that aren't funny, making them sort of funny. She does a good job with the emotional bits towards the end, and then when she's trying to be the stepchild from hell, she actually, like, it's pretty subtly done, so kudos to her.
Yeah, she's good. Mel is not rattled at all, and we hear why. Anyway, let's just play clip number 9 and we'll talk about it.
David, your father tells me that you're West Beverly's video historian.
Yeah, something like that.
I can hardly turn around anymore without that obnoxious video lens being stuck right in my face.
It's nothing personal.
Oh, it was just a little perverted. What do you call those guys, voyeurs or something?
Kelly.
David, I forbid you to commit one more inch of videotape to that gorgeous face.
Ugh, he is so that guy who's like, you know he's told David at some point, like, pretty girls want to be told they're smart. Smart girls want to be told they're pretty. Like, he's so smarmy. Like, I get it. We're supposed to think that he's just not rattled by Kelly and be impressed that he likes Jackie so much that he's not going to let
himself
be bothered.
That's a really, really good observation, Tara.
Thank you, Dave.
Here's the thing, though. That actor I have always found, and his twin, I have always found, like, very charming in this, like, ultra Jersey Jewish mullety dated way.
Well, you have a type. Like,
yeah, I do. Well, that's not even the type. That's the weird thing. But it's totally like your podiatrist who's like, hey, Foxy. And you're like, I appreciate the effort. I don't know. Whatever. You're right. Yeah. He's gross, but.
I mean, whatever. Like, he's
gross, I guess.
He doesn't mean anything by it. Like, it's not so gross that you think he's, you know, gonna hit on Kelly at all, but it's still just like, ugh, barf. Anyway, Jackie just gets more and more astonished by Kelly's rudeness. She seems like she's starting to maybe lose her nerve. Kelly is. And then Mel sets her up perfectly in clip number 10.
How about a drink to start?
A drink? You want my mother to order a drink? I'll have a mineral water.
Whatever.
Because the last thing you do is ask a recovering alcoholic what she wants to drink.
Kelly! Why don't you just shut up?
You can see this in the visual aids. I'm really proud of it. I cut a gif of it, both Jackie saying shut up and then the cut to David looking astonished that this just happened right in front of him. Like, he's so shocked.
I choose to believe their piano guy in the background all blurred out kind of goes... double finger guns over to the table.
Yeah.
With his fishbowl full of dips.
Anyway, so finally Jackie's like, let's go to the ladies' room, and drags Kelly away. And Kelly finally admits to Jackie that she's worried that she's losing Jackie to another guy. And we hear their discussion about that in clip 11.
Kelly, please cut me a little slack. Don't I have a right to be happy? Don't I have a right to have you all to myself? It's for a little while. We're gonna spend lots of time together. I promise. No matter who I'm seeing. I just don't want to share you. Not yet. Not with David Silver.
God. No. I know. I understand.
Do you think we can go back now?
I made a pretty big fool of myself in there.
Who cares?
Come on. Love.
Who cares? It's only David. She does not add.
And Mel, who, whatever.
Seriously. I mean, I like that the, you know, Kelly is being kind of immature considering, like, that's, you know, this is a middle school behavior of, you know, not wanting the mom to hook up with anyone new. But at the same time, I think they actually put it over because of the addiction storyline that, like, Kelly really hasn't had Jackie in a while because of how fucked up she's been. And so now that she's actually being a reasonable mother, it's, you know, it's nice of Kelly to want to have her all to herself. So I thought that
was just, she has a line about it where she's like, since you and Dad broke up, you've been either married or drunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean... I don't know. Again, good job by Jenny Garth. This is like sort of a like Catskills-y, super broad plot. And like, you know, if you watch the show, even if you didn't, you probably know where this goes. So it's like, oh yeah, this is the origin story. But it's pretty well done. It goes on too long, but she does a good job.
Yeah. And also, it's, you know, spoiler alert for those who haven't gotten there yet. Kelly is actually going to lose time with Jackie pretty soon. As Sarah mentioned, there's a baby on the way, so boo. Once again, babies ruin everything. And then later, Kelly has to report to Cindy on what happened in clip number 12.
So what happened when you went back to the table?
Well, I had to apologize, of course. David's dad was very cool, but I could tell he thought I was a total nutcase.
Well, you are, Kelly.
It needs more garlic.
I just love that little callback to, like, the previous season when Kelly was, like, correcting Cindy on, like, the spicing of various dishes. Yep. And she sort of, like, makes this face and she's like, needs more garlic.
Yeah.
Delicious cumin.
Totally. So then, worst of all, Kelly has to eat crow with David. And that is how we wrap up this storyline in clip 13.
Listen, David, I'm really sorry about being such a bitch the other night.
You think just because you're Kelly Taylor, I'm thrilled about the idea of our parents seeing each other, don't you?
Well, yeah, sort of.
Maybe for a second. But the bottom line is, your mom's been divorced forever. And my parents, their divorce isn't even final yet.
So?
So while it's cool that my dad likes your mom, I just wish he'd like my own mom more. I don't know, it's stupid.
It's not stupid, David. I can totally remember I used to hope for the same things. It's really hard when you realize that that's not going to happen.
Sounds like something my therapist would say. My mom's therapist. She made me see him once.
That's such a time capsule that he would like immediately backpedal on having a therapist, like, so would not be a big deal, especially now in Beverly Hills. Like, it would be assumed, even if their parents' marriage was fine, probably that the kid would be in therapy for something.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's the end. The reason that the episode is called Play It Again, David, is that he ends with a stupid beginning of a beautiful friendship impression, but it's so dumb that I cut the clip earlier than that, because who cares? Speaking of who cares, let's get to the A story, Big Brother Brandon.
Oh, Jesus, this ambassador.
So this is not really part of the storyline, except that Andrea is in both of them, but let's play clip 14.
Oh, that was so embarrassing. Mr. Suter must think I'm a complete idiot.
Andrea, it was just an exercise.
Yeah, we all have to do it.
But it was so humiliating, standing there and quacking in front of the entire class. I mean, of all the animals, why did he have to choose a duck?
Seriously, guys, do you think it has something to do with the way I look?
Andrea, that's not the point.
That's not the point, but yes. She doesn't actually say, but maybe.
Oh, boy.
Anywho's, Kelly gives Andrea a lift to the beach club when she's taking Brenda to go and have lunch with Jackie. And Andrea talks Brandon into being a big brother unofficially for this kid that she knows from the Valley Community Center, whose name is Felix. Andrea's already went to Henry and checked Brandon's schedule to make sure she could do it, which is kind of cute. Brandon agrees because he didn't really have any choice. And then Brandon and his rolled up sleeves and seersucker shorts find Felix's apartment. When we see Felix's mom, she's smoking. So you know
already.
That's
how you know she's bad.
She's a bad mom. She blahs about how she went to Beverly High. She's grateful that Brandon is there. And then she bellows at Felix to come out. And Brandon says this in clip 15.
So what happened to Felix's dad?
What? That's not appropriate to ask.
No,
fucking dumb
it's
teenager.
Really not. Like,
yeah.
I think he thinks that because it's a big brother situation that he's like entitled to know what happened to the actual father,
right,
whom he's like figuring on like as a substitute for, but it's like,
right.
What I mean, well, he fell in a wood chipper.
Right.
Dick.
You're not peers. That's not an okay thing to ask. You're 16. Stow it. So anyway, she yells at Felix to come out, and he does, and then they have this exchange, clip 16.
Hey, Felix, how's it going?
It sucks.
Really,
Felix for president!
Opening clip, but it was like a little too short, and also would never stop laughing. Can we hear it again, actually?
Yeah.
Hey, Felix, how's it going?
It sucks.
It sucks.
How old is this other person?
I don't know. How old do you think he is, Sarah? Like 12?
Yeah.
I'd say he's 12 or 13. Like, the way they talk about him, which we'll get into later, is
yeah.
They act like he's 6. But yeah, I think the actor is like 14.
Yeah.
Can we put up with that stickball character from a few episodes ago? Yeah. Get him in a room. And who was the mopey guy from way earlier? There was some kid who was like super down on his luck, terrible actor kid.
Oh, Craig, the homeless kid who's yeah. living in his car?
Yeah. Can we like start some sort of like hypothetical fictional spinoff where we're taking all these kids that are terrible actors from the original mm-hmm. run of the series and we're putting them in a show that's airing like soon.
Right.
It's going to debut in the season. And so far we got 3 cast characters. So let's think about that.
Right. Noah.
Yeah.
Craig.
Yeah.
And now Felix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe in the comments people can start to forming this show. We're
going
to need a title.
Lines.
We're going to need to figure out all that.
I skipped over the part where Felix's mom, Mrs. Felix, actually answers what happened to Felix's dad, which is he left the family, he moved to Phoenix, he sends a Christmas card. That's how she knows he's still alive and where he is from looking at the postmark. Who cares? He doesn't really come up again. Brandon makes some smug, concerned faces, and we already can tell that Felix is a handful because it sucks. So Brandon takes him rollerblading on the sidewalk by the beach club, and I just want to note, based on my recent misadventures, Brandon is not wearing a helmet or elbow pads or knee pads or any kind of protection at all, which is not appropriate. Kids, do not do what Brandon don't does. Felix is a menace. He's hostile. He's not listening to Brandon when he calls for him. He's basically acting like Gordon when Dave takes him out on Mana Road, runs into a bush and won't come out, tries to run through a barbed wire fence like an idiot.
Yeah. Gordon's a dog.
Yeah, Gordon's a dog. Gordon is our 12-year-old son. Anyway, so they end there.
It sucks.
Gordon would never say it sucks. He's much too polite. So Brandon brings Felix to the beach club, dumps him at the bar, and then calls Andrea, which we hear in clip 17.
Hello, you've reached the Zuckerman residence. At the sound of the tone, leave your name, number, and the time of your call, and the appropriate Zuckerman will get back to you promptly. Thank you.
Andrea, thanks a lot. You seem to think the only reason you dumped Felix on me was to get him off your back for a while. I'm telling you, this kid is a royal pain in...
Felix is right behind him. Lemonade.
It's pretty hot.
Thanks.
Sorry for being such a pain in the butt.
Yeah, what's with that anyway? Is that your way of testing people or something?
I don't know.
Look, Felix, I'm not a babysitter, all right? The only reason I'm hanging out with you is because I thought you wanted someone older to hang out with.
This is the place anyway.
It's Beverly Hills Beach Club. It's where I work.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I figured as long as I had to work over my vacation, I might as well look at pretty girls and get a tan while I was at it.
Wow, Brandon's so cool.
How desperate is this kid? Jesus.
I know that he's still standing there after he's heard Brandon completely shit on him on the phone, but whatever. Felix does accept Brandon's description of his job as the coolest thing ever, and... Excuse me, when we next see him, Felix is helping Brandon hand out towels and basically being his cabana boy sous chef. Henry checks in with Brandon about him, warns him not to let Felix get in the way. Henry saw Felix taking fries off a tray, so Brandon's like, I guess I'll keep a better eye on him. And then he brings Felix home for dinner. The super awkward thing happens, which is he's supposed to dump the fries into the oil, and Brandon sort of taps him on the back, and he like freaks out and drops it on the floor. Everyone's alarmed. Cindy sends Felix to go call his mother, and he fakes that he's called her, but he actually has not done anything. And then he shows up back at the beach club bar, calls himself Felix Walsh, and Henry has to hear about it, or Brandon has to hear about it from Henry in clip 18.
Walsh.
Yeah.
We gotta talk.
What's the matter?
It's a kid. I mean, a day or two is one thing, but this can't be a habit.
Henry, I just got to work. I didn't even know he was here. I'll take care of him.
Good, because I don't want to hear any complaints from the members.
Right.
And, Walsh, he's going around telling everybody he's your little brother.
Okay, two things. One, seriously, how desperate is Felix if he would want to fictionally adopt Brandon as his actual brother? And second, Felix lives in Reseda and, as we've mentioned, is a kid and can't drive. So it must take him like 500 bus trips to get to the beach club and in order to get there before Brandon, who supposedly is the first one there every day, is a real mystery of time and space.
Well, and also, what everyone, like, Brandon works there.
Yeah.
The rich people who go there don't care.
Mm-hmm. Or know who Brandon is. Yeah. So Brandon has to find Felix and essentially tell him to knock it off in clip 19.
Listen, tomorrow's my day off. Why don't you come down here tomorrow morning around 9? We'll take a skate down to Venice, huh?
Well, I could go over there by the volleyball courts and just sit. I won't bother anybody.
Felix, I can't. It's a private club. I can only bring guests down on my day off. Come on, I'll walk you out. Hey, don't look so down. I'll see you tomorrow.
You promise?
Promise.
So the next day, Brandon shows up, looks for Felix, doesn't find him anywhere, and he gets real pissed. Which again, why he expected when Brandon has access to a vehicle, presumably to get to work, why he's expecting Felix to get his own self from the valley to the beach is, again, a mystery of time and space.
Okay, Brandon.
Yeah. So Brandon stomps over to Felix's to confront him. And please look at the visual aids, because for some reason, the fucking shoe leather from the establishing shot of Felix's apartment house to Brandon actually finding him on the patio is so long. It takes forever. We watch Brandon walking over to him for such a long, needlessly long time. Even more.
And then there's the only on TV shot of the kid, like, glumly slamming a baseball into a baseball mitt. Like, kids had stopped doing that by the time Dennis the Menace went off the air. Mm-hmm. Knock it off.
Also, slamming a ball into a baseball mitt sitting at a table, like, what about that is fun? But anyway, as Sarah said, he's sulking at this table. Brandon scowls at him and lays into him and then realizes he's maybe out of his depth in clip 20.
What's with you, man? Wait for you all day down at the beach club. You don't show. You don't call.
Sorry.
It's no wonder so many guys don't stick it out with you. Today was my day off, Felix. I mean, if we're going to make this work, you got to at least show me the...
Then he notices he's got a black eye.
I tried to do a triple and I wiped out.
Oh, come on, man. There's no wipeout bruise. What happened? Did you get into a fight or something? Hey, Felix. I'm here for you, man. You can trust me. What happened?
My mom hit me.
What?
She didn't mean it. I was really bad.
You couldn't have done something so bad to deserve that.
I told her I would call. I should have called and I forgot.
Is that the only one?
Shows his back.
No.
The guitar chord of Brandon gets it. You can see the picture in the visual aids. Let me preface this by saying child abuse is very serious and not a joking matter, but the marks on Felix's...
It sucks. It sucks.
The marks on Felix's back look like grill marks. Like, they are so parallel. I've never seen anyone actually who got hit with a belt or whatever is supposed to have happened to Felix. But I don't think it looks like that.
They do. It is like the whatever close up of the Outback Steak special. Like, yeah. Jesus.
Oh no, we lost Dave. So,
we're
Brandon
also
asks,
going to hell, but anyway. And I would add that, like, nothing I have ever heard or read about situations like this suggests that he would give up his mother that easily.
No,
but
especially not to someone he literally, like, just met. I mean, Brandon being like, "I'm here for you, Felix." Oh no, Dave is actually leaving the room. He's laughing so hard.
It sucks.
He's so far down the hall, I can barely hear him. Brandon is all like laying into him, like, "You can trust me." Like, this is the third day they've known each other. Like, it's ridiculous that Brandon would act like he thinks that Felix should trust him enough to tell him. And also in the visual aids, Brandon hugs him, and you can see him doing some really inappropriate thumb twiddling on Felix's shoulder. That's incredibly weird. Anyway, yeah. He lies that it's never happened before. Clearly it has. So Brandon, we next see him finding Andrea at school to narc on Mrs. Felix, and that's what we hear in clip 21.
Have you ever noticed all the bruises Felix gets from skating? Or how he never takes his shirt off even on the hottest day?
Brandon, what are you talking about?
Felix's mother beats him.
Brandon, that's a really serious accusation. I mean, are you sure?
Yeah. Totally.
Totally.
To the max, bro.
So
they just are so, like, even one euphemism anywhere in this plot would be great.
Yeah.
Like, just nothing. It's like Rain Man with this shit.
Anyway. Oh my God. I apologize. That was, so what I was doing, I was trying to cue up the It Sucks and just started playing over and over again.
I thought that was intentional. And
I know.
Rules,
I wish it was. I wanted to play it, but not at that point.
All right. So the conversation goes on. Andrea is basically trying to fan wank the abuse of Felix by Mrs. Felix, and this is how they wind things up in clip 22.
You know, if we report this, he could be yanked out of his house, put into foster care.
Maybe he has a grandmother, an aunt, or anybody.
Maybe not.
So what do you say we do? Just let him stay at home and let his mom keep beating him up?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
I know. I'm sorry.
Look, there's a social worker who used to work at the center. I think we've got to talk to a professional person about this.
I think I'd better talk to my parents first.
Yeah, because they did such a great job with you. They should have beaten you.
Child abuse is very serious and not a joke. But
I
yes.
wasn't joking. He's of age. Get to beaten. Sorry.
I agree with you.
No, sorry.
No, I'm
he
not.
He sucks.
yeah. So this is where they introduce the idea of like maybe he has someone else to go live with, maybe not, and then that's like kind of where people leave it. But anyway, we hear more of this discussion when Brandon goes home and, as threatened, tells his parents in clip 23.
Sometimes these kids get yanked out of their homes right away and put into foster care, and I don't know if Felix could take it. He feels abandoned as it is. His father walked out on him when he was 3.
Well, maybe he has a relative or a friend he could stay with.
Could he stay with us?
Brandon... That's a very generous idea, but I don't think
that... Dad, you can't turn your back on someone you know needs your help.
Yeah. Let Dylan stay here.
Sweetheart, it's a completely different thing. I mean, Felix is a child. He needs constant care.
Sarah?
He's 12. He doesn't need constant anything except you not hitting him. Pretty yeah. confident you can handle. Although, I mean, it's a ridiculous idea to have him stay there, obviously, but like yes. the constant care concept is like... He doesn't have a wasting disease. I think he probably would be fine.
Right.
But
you don't.
The
you
look
don't need to.
That Cindy gets on her face when Brandon suggests this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's
horror.
A ridiculous idea. Yes, absolutely. And yeah, constant care is really overstating it. Like he's a middle school.
Hey, Felix.
Stop it.
Sorry.
He's a middle school kid.
No,
you don't
keep going.
You don't need to keep eyes on him to make sure he's, you know, not going to start playing with matches or something. But anyway, again, with the maybe has someone to live with, maybe not, never pursued. So Brandon goes over to confront the smoking bad mom in clip 24.
Suzanne, I know.
You know what?
I've seen the bruises. I know you beat Felix.
Jesus.
What are you talking about? I can't even believe what I'm hearing.
Now, look, I'm not a social worker.
No, you're not, so why don't you get the hell out of my house?
Suzanne.
How can you even suggest that I could hurt my own child?
Well, it seems pretty unbelievable to me, too. My parents never laid a hand on me when I was a child, but Felix has bruises all over his back.
What did that boy say to you?
Nothing. He defends you. He thinks it's his fault. He thinks he deserves it.
I had a little too much to drink and I hit him. But not hard. And he didn't deserve it.
So why'd you do it?
I know things got tough and I took it out on him. It'll never happen again.
Well, maybe you should get some help with these problems of yours so you don't take them out on Felix.
Oh, and how am I going to be able to afford that?
I don't know. There must be some sort of free community social
That's
service.
Not for me.
Then maybe you should do it for Felix.
Okay. First of all, let's watch the tone. I know she's an abusive parent. Nevertheless, she's not your peer. Pull it back. Second,
and that's a pretty bad black eye he has. If she winds up and clocks you in the face,
mm-hmm.
like, you're also shorter than she is. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Also, maybe you should have come into this conversation with some ideas rather than there's got to be a way. Like, that's not helpful to her at all and not useful and stupid and shut up, Brandon. But he doesn't, as we hear in clip 25.
Look, Suzanne, I talked to my parents about this.
Well, then.
They didn't think I should come here and talk to you. Huh. They said I should just call a social worker and report the incident.
They did?
Maybe they were right.
Well, I mean, maybe. Maybe there is somebody I could call.
A social worker is someone.
Oh, God. I am so sorry. I'm so ashamed. I don't understand. I am not that kind of a mother, really. I'm not.
I mean, you do smoke.
I know, Suzanne. I know.
Well, as long as Brandon knows, that's what's important.
God, he's so terrible. I mean, you know, there's, again, this whole confrontation plan is so half-baked. Like, maybe you should have come with a social worker. Maybe you should have come with one of your parents. Obviously, you couldn't have because they both thought it was a bad idea to go to her directly. And they were right. But, like, I don't understand the process of, you know, what would actually happen in a real situation like this. So it's, ugh.
Well, neither does the show because...
Yeah, no one looked it up or talked to anybody.
Where we end up is like, he's basically at camp.
Yeah, well, so that's what happens. The next we see Brandon, he's going to visit Felix at his group home, and that's our final clip.
Hey, Felix.
What are you doing here?
Just came by to see you.
Well, maybe I don't want to see you.
I guess you're pretty mad at me, huh?
You promised. I promised you wouldn't tell.
Felix, I know it's hard.
I miss my mom. I've been here over a week. When am I going to get to go home?
Soon, I hope. But Felix, your mom wanted you to come here so she could get some help. So when you do go home, you won't have to be afraid anymore.
Of bad ADR.
Yeah.
You know, I thought you dumped me. Just forgot all about me.
No, I just thought you needed some space. Some time, cool off.
Guess you're right.
Don't tell him that.
Like the kind of guy who'd bail on a brother?
Yep.
No.
Jesus.
Thanks, Brandon.
Anytime, Felix.
Doing things for others.
Come on, let's watch, huh?
Sure.
Cool.
So what have you been up to lately?
Well, not much. Hey, you want to go to the Kings game next week?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Let me guess. They never saw,
never
him,
saw
again.
Him again.
You are correct, Dave. Good guess. I have a number of problems with this scene. Again, I am not a social worker either, and I don't pretend to know how these things work. But I feel like a group home situation like this wouldn't be something where kids would be playing in the front yard and a stranger could just wander in off the street and go and talk
and
to the kids.
And have lunch. Like, yeah. You know they're on stipends, right? You can't just, like, it's not a restaurant.
Well, that, but also, like, I would think the kids would be protected more because probably some of them are there for their own protection so that, like, their bad parents don't come and kidnap them or something. So the idea that Brandon could just, like, wander into this neighborhood and find this place, never mind, go and just hang out there. And
I'm sorry, no one fucking called the... called Phoenix and looked up Felix, Mr. in the phone book and tried to find this kid's fucking father. He didn't actually go in the wood chipper.
No, he's alive as far as we know. But yeah, I guess for all of everyone's speculation about Felix, he doesn't have any friends or any other relatives that could have taken him in. And also, when Felix tries to stomp away from Brandon, Brandon grabs him by the arm and Felix, like, doesn't even flinch or anything, which I also think would be strange under
yeah,
the circumstances.
Yeah, happens a couple times. There's also, like, some back whapping that I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Don't you remember French fry gate?
Right. Okay. Yeah, but also the whole matter of, like, well, I just thought you needed space. Like, your whole premise was that you're here to help him and be on his side, so you turn in his mom and then fuck off? Great move, Brandon. Basically, all of this entire storyline is, if you ever meet an abused child, do the opposite of what Brandon does in all scenes.
Yes.
Don't do what Brandon don't does.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about the most valuable player. Sarah, who is your choice?
That would be Claire of Claire's Accessories, because Jackie is modeling some of her most incredible, giant, late 80s, early 90s earrings. I'd always really get a kick out of them. And also, like to say, we will be seeing the jeweled strap dress in the visual aids, but I actually had that dress, and it originally had like the same fabric straps, which I removed and sewed stars in.
Oh.
Like room divider star things.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was really hard to do. And while I was doing it, I was trying to pull the needle through the fabric and I chipped a tooth. And that's why my front teeth are not the same length.
Is that true?
Whole story for you. Yeah, it's true. They had to like grind it down to be even. But yeah, like a little chip came off the front because I was trying to be crafty like Jackie.
Wow. Amazing.
I'm the worst. I will let myself out. It sucks.
There's so many parallels to this episode. You chipped a tooth just like Jackie, Sarah.
I did. I'm Jackie.
Maybe she was eating a bead. That's what was in her salad. All right. My most valuable player for the episode is Cindy for calling out the constant care and really not wanting to get embroiled in Felix's family drama, even though probably on some level she knows it's wrong. Or as Felix might put it, it sucks. Was expecting that drop to come. The one time we want it. Thank you, Dave. And least valuable player.
It sucks.
I mean, you can't really give it to anyone other than Mrs. Felix because she is abusing her child. But very right underneath her is Brandon and his braying at her for same.
And I would actually put up Mr. Felix, the disappearing $5 sending, left his child with an abusive parenting guy.
And he lives in Phoenix. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
On purpose? The fuck is that about?
Can we shit on every one of America's top 25 markets during the course of this podcast? Let's find out. And mad, bad.
Mad, bad, dangerous team.
Look, Dylan's got this star.
I know, sorry. The Kim Challenge, 5 reasons from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Number one, if he does it when you're with him, he might get you electrocuted in someone's pool.
Yep. What else? Prone to disappearing in an atomized terrible effect cloud while you think you're having a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm. He is
which could drive you mad.
True. He is in Hawaii, so he might pick up a cursed tiki and fuck with you that way.
What else? He still has symptoms of gonorrhea, knows that girl in France child support is disgust.
He apparently never gets his hair wet, judging by how he looks in the pool, so he probably has a variety of hygiene problems, I would say. And that's 5. That's pretty good for someone who was only in 3 scenes.
Yeah, good for that guy. Next time, the color isn't the only lemony thing about Brandon's new ride, and Elvis prepares to leave the building when Brenda and Andrea scuffle over its log. You can read all about that, listen about it, and see visual aids for this episode and many more at previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv, me at Tomato Nation, our esteemed producer Dave at Clark, and Tara at Tara Ariano. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
It sucks.
Thank you. Thank God for you. That's great. That might have to be my ringtone. Sucks.